Okay, let's dive in. Global energy markets, well, they're certainly keeping us on our toes right now. So much movement.
Absolutely. It feels like everything's happening at once. Political tensions, big deals, new projects popping up.
Exactly. So our mission for this deep dive is to sift through the sources you've shared, cut through that noise, and really pull out the key shifts, the things you need to know.
Right. We've got geopolitics, major trade flows changing, new infrastructure plans, policy moves, corporate strategies. It's a lot, but the goal is to connect those dots for you.
Perfect. So where do we start? Maybe with that immediate jolt from the sources on the Israel attack on Iran. What was the direct fallout?
Yeah, that definitely sent ripples. The immediate thing was crude prices jumping, hit a 5-month high, actually.
Yeah.
But, the deeper signal there, the one that has lasting resonance, is it brought back all the anxiety around the Strait of Hormuz.
The choke point.
Yeah.
Why is that specific strait always such a flashpoint?
Well, it's just fundamental to oil transport. The sources mention about, what, 19 million barrels a day going through there?
19 million barrels daily.
Wow. So any hint of instability, any increased tension in that narrow channel, it immediately makes the market nervous about a huge chunk of global supply being disrupted.
Got it. That puts the price spike in context. Okay, moving beyond direct conflict impacts, the sources also flag some really interesting shifts in, like, who's buying what and where. That Egypt LNG deal seemed pretty significant.
Oh, definitely. Egypt locking in agreements for up to 160 LNG cargoes. That's through the end of 2026. And look who they're dealing with, big players. Saudi Aramco, Trafigura, Vitol, Shell.
And they paid a premium, right, over the European price.
They did, a premium over the TTF benchmark. That tells you something, doesn't it? It signals a real sense of urgency, maybe, to secure that gas supply right now.
Yeah, paying extra usually means you really need it.
Oh.
And then on the other side of shifting trade, there's India and Russia, still a major story.
It really is. It continues to redraw the map. India's imports of Russian crude hit a record in early June. We're talking over 2.2 million barrels per day.
It's huge, almost half their needs.
Pretty much, nearly half. And the driver. Russian oil is still consistently priced below that international cap, so for India, it makes economic sense.
A massive redirection of flows, really.
Mm.
Okay, so while those current trades are happening, sources also point towards the future. New infrastructure, new supply. Canada's got a big pipeline plan.
That's right. There's a proposal being explored for a new 1 million barrel per day crude pipeline. It would run from Alberta out to the Pacific coast, Prince Rupert
A
specifically.
million barrels a day. That's a serious long-term export play, especially towards Asia.
Exactly. It signals that ambition. And speaking of new supply, but maybe coming online a bit sooner, there's news from ExxonMobil down in Guyana.
Right, the Yellowtail and Redtail fields.
Yeah. They're expecting first oil from those fields. They're even branding the new grade Golden Arrowhead sometime in August or September. That's from their fourth production unit there. So new barrels hitting the market relatively soon.
Golden Arrowhead. Okay, let's shift gears a bit to strategy. Corporate moves, national oil company plans. The sources mentioned ADNFC and Algeria making waves.
Yes, and they sort of represent two interesting trends for NOCs. You've got ADNOC, the UAE's national oil company, reportedly looking outwards, exploring potential big acquisitions like Australia's Santos or parts of BP's gas portfolio.
So global expansion, diversification.
Seems like it,
Right.
expanding their reach.
Yeah.
Then you contrast that with Algeria. They're investing heavily, but internally.
What are they focusing on?
Downstream, they've committed a pretty hefty sum, $7 billion over the next 5 years, specifically to upgrade their existing refineries and build new facilities. Hassi Messaoud, Arzew, Skikda.
So moving beyond just pumping crude.
Precisely. They explicitly want to follow that path other Middle Eastern NOCs have taken, getting more involved in refining, petrochemicals, selling the finished products, adding value.
That makes sense. Okay, last big area from the sources, policy and alternatives. Seems like different directions in the U.S. and Europe.
A bit of a contrast, yeah. In the US, the EPA looks set to propose biofuel blending requirements for 2026, 2027 that are, well, lower than the industry hoped for.
So disappointment for biofuel producers.
Yeah, they wanted a much bigger increase from the current, what is it, 5.25 billion gallons. So likely not getting that.
Okay. And then Europe and sustainable aviation fuel, SAF.
Right, Europe's taking a different tack. The EU is actually stepping in to subsidize SAF, about 200 million liters worth. The idea is to help airlines meet those mandatory SAF blending targets coming up in 2030.
Why the subsidy? Is it that much more expensive?
Hugely expensive right now. The sources cite something like $1,000 per metric ton difference compared to conventional jet fuel. So that subsidy acknowledges the current cost hurdle.
$1,000 difference. Wow. Yeah, that highlights the challenge.
Yeah.
And just one quick final market point. Mention the Citgo situation. Still ongoing.
Ah, yes. The never-ending Citgo auction saga. It's been extended. Again, bidders now have until August 18th to revise their offers. Just another wrinkle in a very long, very complex process.
Okay, so pulling all these threads together, you've got geopolitical shocks impacting price, major trade routes shifting, big bets on future infrastructure and supply, NOCs making strategic plays both outward and inward, and then these sort of diverging policy paths for alternatives. It's a really dynamic picture.
It really is. And none of these things are happening in a vacuum, right? They're all interconnected, influencing supply, demand, investment decisions, policy debates, all at the same time. It's constantly evolving.
It really makes you think how fast the ground can shift under your feet in this sector. Mm-hmm. So thinking about all these different forces we just touched on, the conflicts, the deals, the new tech, the policies, what part of this whole global energy picture feels the most uncertain or maybe the most exciting to you right now?